Wisdom from God. Would you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, please? Read a few verses and then a few in chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. From verse 18, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. Reading through to 31, then on into chapter 2. Lengthy reading. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But in us who are being saved, it is the power of God, or the wisdom of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God the world through wisdom did not know God, it is pleased that God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For the Jews request a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, so that the Jews a stumbling block, and the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Gentiles, or Greeks, Christ is the power of God, or the wisdom of God, and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things that are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Continuing on into chapter 2, please. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with the excellence of speech or wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech, my preaching, were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power or the wisdom of God. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. The hidden there is the church, there when Jesus came. That's the wisdom of God. So we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not crucify the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of men the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except by the Spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except by the Spirit of God. Carrying on, down to verse 13. Now we receive not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Amen to that. If you go back to chapter 1, and you'll find there, if you want the text, this is it, in chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, and verse 21. For since in the wisdom of God, where's the scribe? Where's the dispute of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? We have the wisdom of God. That's wonderful, isn't it? And worldly wisdom can never find or even understand God. It's foolish in his sight. To try to do so is foolishness. The message of the cross, verse 18, is foolish to human wisdom. That's why it's difficult to get through to people. We cannot reason out of the purpose of the cross and its redeeming message by human wisdom, not at all, which cannot understand the need for sacrifice for sin. The world doesn't understand. You mean to say that through somebody's death, my sins will be forgiven? They don't understand that, do they? We do. For everything we have is in the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we find God destroys the wisdom of the wise of this world. All human reasoning, reckoning, or even wisdom, God puts to shame that which the world calls strength and wisdom. The might of human wisdom, clever philosophy, no, doesn't work. And God reduces it to being worthless. Now, what is the foolishness of this message of the gospel? How can the world understand that through the death of someone on a cross, our sins can be forgiven? The world doesn't understand that. But we do, because Christ is a Lamb of God, sacrificed even from before the beginning of the world. We know that. So the Lord destroys all human wisdom. It doesn't match what God wants us to have. So wisdom, well, can ask the question, what is wisdom? Wisdom, as for us anyway, spiritually, wisdom is knowing what to do, what to say, right, in any given situation we find ourselves. That's wisdom from God, knowing what to do and what to say in any given situation we face. We need the wisdom of God for that, don't we? That's certainly true. So wisdom, in a sense, is linked up with the ability to know the difference between half-truths and full-truth, the totality of God's truth. The apostates around us might give us half-truth. That is what's deceptive, half-truth, and half-lies. But really, it's all lies, isn't it? That's what it's. Half-truths can deceive people. That's what's happening today. Half-truth, which is really no truth whatever. But you see, all those half-truths or apostasy or deception can never fool a true believer. Never. We can spot it immediately. So wisdom, which you need from the Lord in every situation we find ourselves in, is allied to discernment, being able to discern situations, people, circumstances, conversation, having the wisdom to discern what is right or half-truth, you can discern that, or no truth. So that's something which is very important. And I'd like, if you will now, just for the moment, to go back to Proverbs with them. Would you go back to Proverbs? We spend a little time in Proverbs about wisdom. First of all, the beginning of Proverbs in chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. I can get there. Proverbs chapter 2. Let's read the first 12 verses. Let me cross out something here, if I may. That's better. The first 12 verses of Proverbs chapter 2. The value of wisdom is headed, that's not inspired, of course, is headed in my New King James. My son, if you receive my words, writes Solomon, and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, verse 2. Yes, if you cry out for discernment, lift up your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver, wisdom is precious, and search for her as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. or the wisdom of the Lord. And the knowledge of God. Verse 6, for the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding from his word. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright, for the Christian. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you'll understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path. Down to verse 12. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is present to your soul, discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you, to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things. Wisdom, discernment is for our blessing, isn't it? Would you go over to verses 20 and 21 in Proverbs 2, 20 and 21? So you may walk in the way of goodness and keep to the paths of righteousness. For the upright will dwell in the land and the blameless will remain in it, in the blessing of the Lord. That means, of course. Would you go over to chapter 4, chapter 4 of Proverbs, and look from verse 5 to 13. Proverbs 4, 5 to 13. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget, nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, meaning wisdom, and she will preserve you, meaning wisdom. Love her, and she will keep you, wisdom. Wisdom is a principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and then all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. The grace of God, the wisdom of God, the mercy of God, the blessing of God, the salvation of God. Wonderful that, isn't it? Praise the Lord for that. Down to verse 20 of chapter 4. Down to verse 20 and 21 to 23 rather. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, meaning wisdom, and health to all your flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. So they do. Out of wisdom, out from the Lord, salvation is very life itself. We need wisdom from God. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 21. That's what we need. Wisdom, I repeat this, is knowing what to do or what to say in any situation we may find ourselves. We need wisdom to know what to do or what to say. That's certainly true. Now, would you go, we're in Proverbs, would you go back to two Psalms? Go back to the Psalms. This first one is Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Well, I can get back to it as well. Psalm 37. And the verse I want is verse 30. Psalm 37 and verse 30. This is very important. Psalm 37, verse 30. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, and his tongue talks of justice. Mouth of the righteous, the Christian, speaks wisdom. In any situation we find ourselves, or what to say in those circumstances, wisdom of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, will guide us into these truths. Wonderful that, isn't it? It really is. So that was Psalm 37, verse 30. Go on to Psalm 90, please. Psalm 90. Psalm 90. Lost the page. Here we are, Psalm 90 and verse 12. Psalm 90 and verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Oh my, that's an important one, isn't it? I think we know that one, don't we? Yeah, teach us to number our days, knowing we have a limited time here, that we may gain the heart of wisdom. And wisdom knows how, as we realize, our time here is short, and therefore we need wisdom in our daily living. That's very important, that is, isn't it? Would you go, just while we're searching the scripture, would you go to one more in Isaiah? Isaiah 33. Isaiah 33. And I can get back to it. And verse 6. Isaiah 33 and verse 6. Wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times. Oh, take that one to heart. In the type of days in which we live, how we need that. Wisdom and knowledge of the Lord and his word will be the stability of your times and the strength of your salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. That's wisdom. To give reverence to the Lord, that's wise. Wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times. And my, do we not need them today? Wisdom, understanding, and knowing what to do and say in any situation, and the knowledge of the Lord and his word. So important. So there's an excellency about this term, word, wisdom. There's an excellency about it. So important. So wisdom can discern the difference and the dangers between the pretense of falsehood and apostasy and false teachers and the real truth, as we know the word of God. Wisdom can discern the difference. You know, if you know the word, you'll be a good Berean. You know the word of God, you can spot the error. When a person has been trained to work in a bank, the person was told to study a 10-pound note thoroughly. And when she knew the true, she could spot the false one. As same for us. You know the word of truth, you can spot the error. You can spot the copy. That's no good. We need wisdom for that. It's to know the difference between even half-truths and the whole truth, and knowing what to do and say in certain situations. Now, would you go to Matthew's Gospel? Right over to Matthew. One of the parables of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 13. Should you turn to that one, please? Matthew 13. And look from 24 to 30. There's a parable of Jesus. Matthew 13, verse 24. Another parable Jesus put forth to the disciples, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares or weeds among the wheat and went his way. When the corn had sprouted, produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, 'Sir, you have not sowed good seed in your field. How then does it have weeds or tares?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' The servant said to him, 'Do you want then to go and gather them up together?' But he said, 'No, lest while you gather up the tares, you will also uproot the wheat with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, or gather the wheat into my barn.'" There's a division, you see. See, the tare here is called the Palestinian darnel. The Palestinian downy looks exactly like the ear of wheat as it grows, the pointed leaves, but the difference is when it comes to the fruit. The ear of wheat grows in ear of wheat, but the Palestinian downy comes to a flower. Now we know why Jesus said, by their fruits you will know them. That's what that is. You'll know the fruit of the real because it bears grain. The fruit of the Palestinian downy is purely a flower and nothing more. So in the end, you will know the difference. Like in the parable, the wheat and the tares, gathered together and separated out. Well, that's remarkable, isn't it? Well, that's how it is. Go to verse 31, the next parable, the parable of the mustard seed. Matthew 13, 31, 32, the parable of the mustard seed. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds. But when it is grown, it is greater than all the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. Now that mustard tree should have been a bush, only a few feet tall. But here it becomes a tree, so big that even the birds of the air could actually nest in its branches. The genuine mustard bush, to be distinguished as being good, but the huge mustard tree, big enough for birds to lodge in and make their nest, is a false mustard tree. I could go back and tell you something from Daniel, but time is going on now. So the mustard tree here is a false one. It's a mustard tree. It grew from a seed, but it grew to a large tree instead of a medium-sized bush. Now, okay, we go back to Daniel. Can we go back to Daniel 4? We're moving around scripture again, aren't we? Daniel chapter 4, please. Daniel 4, when I can get there. Here we are. In Daniel chapter 4, here's another tree. From verse 10, Daniel 4 and verse 10. His Nebuchadnezzar's second dream. Daniel 4, verse 10. These are the visions of my head, says Nebuchadnezzar, while on my bed. I was looking and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and its height was great. The tree grew and became strong. Its height reached to the heavens, and it could be seen to the ends of all the earth. Wow, some big tree. Its leaves were lovely, its fruit abundant, and in all as it so, excuse me, and in it was found food for all, its fruit abundant. And the beasts of the field found shade under it, birds of the heavens dwelt in its branches, and all flesh was fed from it. But of course, that big tree in the dream was Nebuchadnezzar, and he was the biggest empire, not in size, but in greatness. This empire was Babylon, and Nebuchadnezzar was like the image of gold in Daniel 2, of course, you know that. So here we have the thing which is evil. Daniel was told, of course, of the development of all the nations eventually. And he said, now here you find this is evil because the tree was enough for all the birds of the air. The birds of the air, where do we read about birds of the air? In the parable of the sower. Remember in the parable of the sower, the birds, the blackbirds came down and snatched away the seed. So the birds are evil, snatching away the word. And the birds here that launched in the tree, they are evil. The whole tree is evil. Nebuchadnezzar in his godlessness. So we need wisdom from the Lord to know the difference between good and evil, don't we? Things which may appear to be good may not be. And we need wisdom to know the difference. This was a huge tree, but the mustard was only a bush. Remember that. So, going back to Proverbs, if we may, go back to Proverbs chapter 3, if you will, please. Proverbs chapter 3, get back to it. Here we are. In Proverbs chapter 3, sorry, chapter 30, verse 3, I beg your pardon, I'm not reading these right, am I? Sorry, it's Proverbs 30 and verse 3. Getting dark up here. Proverbs 13, verse 3. Here's a word of a man called Agur, the son of Jacob, his utterance. Verse 3, I neither learn wisdom nor have knowledge of the Holy One. He fears I'm more stupid than any other man, in verse 2, and I do not have the understanding of a man. I neither learn wisdom nor have the knowledge of the Holy One. This man says, I'm stupid because I don't know wisdom from God. And that's true. We need wisdom from God, which is righteousness, it's uprightness, it's truth, it's light. For us as believers, we need wisdom from on high. These things are true. So wisdom is relating to knowing the true God. We find today, as in past centuries, there have been apostates, people who might teach half-truths. We should be like good Bereans and know the difference between half-truth and total truth, and not to be deceived at all. Wisdom can discern the difference between what is pretense and what is actual truth. Very much so. And praise the Lord, we have the righteousness of God and the wisdom from God. And the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. One can understand that. The world doesn't understand, as I said before, how can man's sins be forgiven by the death of one man on the cross? Of course, he was God the Son. And through him as atonement for sin. This is foolishness to the world around us. It takes the Holy Spirit to reveal the light and the truth of this with conviction that we know. But we can do this. So wisdom is related to knowing the truth, knowing the Lord, knowing the Holy One, know the real Christ, not an apostate, not a false one. And Christ is presented to us as, in 1 Corinthians 1:21, as wisdom. His wisdom, righteousness, and sanctification. He's our wisdom. If we need to know anything, see the word of God, read it, be a good Berean, and know it. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. Well, I've said that before. The world cannot understand how a man on the cross could bring eternal life for the believer. But we know that's true. And we know that Christ is a power of God to everyone who believes, as you and I do. Now come towards an end now. When Paul was preaching, what did he say? Would you go to 1 Corinthians, back where we were, but chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, please. First Corinthians chapter 2 this time, and we read verse 4. We read part of chapter 2 and part of 1 earlier, but this is going back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 4. What did the Apostle Paul say? My speech, 1 Corinthians 2 verse 4, my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Yes, we need the wisdom from God, for daily understanding, the word. We need wisdom from God to know what to say and what to do in any given situation we find. That's important too. So Paul didn't preach with human wisdom, but having the Holy Spirit to prompt him with divine wisdom to speak forth the word of God. That's just you and me. In other words, we know the work of the Holy Spirit is very true. And I'm just quoting Psalm 73, verse 24. You needn't turn to it. Psalm 73, verse 24. It's what the psalmist said to the Lord. You will guide me with your counsel or your wisdom, and afterwards receive me to glory. Psalm 73, verse 24. I repeat that. You will guide me with your counsel, means good wisdom, and afterwards receive me to glory. Amen. See, the world couldn't see God's wisdom in providing salvation through his son, through the death of a man. Salvation? Ah, but he was a man, son of God, son of man. So we need the wisdom from God for daily living, understanding the times in which we live, which is easy, but also having enough wisdom to speak or act as we should in any given situation we find ourselves. There we need divine wisdom, and the Holy Spirit will give us the wisdom which is of Christ. Amen to that. Whew.